Thank you, Clay. Good morning, everyone. This work was done by a visiting professor, Dr. Huifeng Li, in 2016, and then with Mario and Ben, my postdoc, joined the group in early 2017. And we used one of Terrence's existing Rustock trials, and Terrence is in the audience. He just came back from a three-year leave of absence. Welcome back, Terrence. We all know that Honeycrisp is the apple variety that consumers really like, but it's not easy to grow. One of the problems is its high susceptibility to bitter pit. In early 2000s, a group of us at Cornell look at the relationship between bitter pit incidence of Honeycrisp in relation to bulk fruit calcium levels, and we found a negative relationship. In the best case scenario, bulk fruit calcium concentration accounts for about 40 to 50% of the bitter pit incidence, variation in bitter pit incidence. But in many cases, there is not much relationship between the two. So that begs the question, you know, what is the best indicator to sort of indicate or predict bitter pit incidence in Honeycrisp? And also, why Honeycrisp is so much more susceptible to bitter pit than other varieties? In 2015, we collected some data on both Honeycrisp and Gala from the same rootstock trial Terrence had, but we only focused on trees on M9 rootstock. What we found was, compared with Gala, which is a bitter pit resistant variety or tolerant variety, Honeycrisp fruit in the bulk fruit only had about 50% of the calcium as found in Gala. But the Honeycrisp peel tissues have much more potassium and phosphorus. So we want to see whether, you know, this holds true across rootstocks. Physiologically speaking, it is really the cell membrane calcium that is directly related to cell membrane function. When the cell membrane calcium level gets really low, the membrane loses its integrity, loses its function, leading to cell death, manifested as bitter pit. But there are several steps for the calcium to get to the cell membrane, as shown here. First, calcium has to be taken up along with other nutrients by the roots. And second, calcium will be partitioned between the foliage and the fruit. This is entirely driven by transpiration, because calcium is only mobile in the xylem, not mobile in the phloem. The next step is the partitioning within fruit. This will include, you know, some of the calcium goes to the peel, the rest goes to the flesh. Even within the parenchyma cells in the flesh, in the cortex tissue, there will be cellular partitioning of calcium between apoplast, cell wall, cell membrane, cytosol, and vacuole. So rootstock along this entire path, rootstocks, we think there will be an effect, because rootstock most likely going to affect calcium uptake along with the other nutrients. And because rootstock affects vigor, it's likely going to affect the partitioning between calcium, partitioning between foliage and fruit for calcium and other nutrients. And then there's the within-fruit partitioning. So the objectives of this study are threefold. First, we want to compare fruit calcium level and its balance with other nutrients between Honeycrisp and Gala, to see if the trend we found in 2015 holds. Second, we want to determine the effects of rootstock on bitter pit incidence and its relationship with nutrient balance, to see which part of the fruit calcium or its balance with other nutrients better indicates bitter pain incidence. Third, we want to characterize the developmental change of fruit calcium and other nutrients in Honeycrisp and Gala. Again, we, as I indicated earlier, we used an existing Honeycrisp and Gala rootstock trial in Western New York. There are more rootstocks than we used, but we only chose four rootstocks, B9, G11, G41, and M9. Each was replicated four times. Trees were planted in 2006, so the trees we used were mature trees. At harvest, we took fruit samples, 30 fruit samples from each replicate, and we evaluated a bitter pit. Of course, for bitter pit evaluation, we used more than 200 fruits per replicate. And then for the fruit developmental study, we only focused on the fruits from the M9 trees. We took fruit samples. Starting from petafall, at 2 week intervals, we took the bulk fruit. We took the wedge on the opposite sides. We cut each fruit longitudinally with the core removed, and then we took fruit peel samples, and we also take fruit sap samples. Basically, we took two peel samples. One is frozen in minus 80, and we squeezed the sap out of that after thawing. And then the other peel sample was dried and analyzed for nutrients. So I'm going to show you the data across rootstocks, across all four rootstocks first. For this slide, basically we have four panels. For your upper left, we have two parts. The left part is the data from flesh. The right-hand side is the data from the peel tissue. As you can see here, across all four rootstocks, Honeycrisp fruit, both in the flesh or in the, or either in the flesh or in the peel, the calcium concentration is only about 40%. Compared with the Gala. Here this is Gala, this is Honeycrisp, this side is flesh, this side is peel. As you can see from here, something about 40%. In the peel, similar trend. We also look at other nutrients, let's say flesh or peel potassium. A slight difference here in the flesh.
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry. In the peel, however, Honeycrisp fruit has significantly higher potassium level. For magnesium, a slight difference here, but not a whole lot. But if you look at phosphorus, Honeycrisp fruit in the flesh, let's say here is about half of the phosphorus in the flesh compared with Gala, but in the peel tissue, Honeycrisp has like almost 150% or over 200% of the phosphorus in the peel compared with Gala. We'll look at the ratios. Because of lower calcium level in Honeycrisp flesh or peel and a higher potassium level in the peel, and we see a much higher potassium to calcium ratio in both flesh and peel. Here in the flesh, in the peel. So again, the bar on the right-hand side is Honeycrisp, always here, and this is flesh, this is in peel. We also look at the ratio of magnesium to calcium, similar trend, but this is largely because the Honeycrisp tissue, either both flesh and peel, have lower calcium level. And we also look at potassium, the ratio of potassium plus magnesium to calcium, very similar trend. We also look at the phosphorus to calcium ratio, again here, similar trend. So basically, compared with Gala, in both flesh and pure tissue, Honeycrisp fruit has higher potassium to calcium ratio, higher magnesium to calcium ratio, higher potassium plus magnesium to calcium ratio, and higher phosphorus to calcium ratio. Now let's look at the rootstock effect. So in this figure, we have the rootstocks on the x-axis here. And we only look at the ratios because for Honeycrisp, there was no difference in fruit flesh or pure calcium level across these rootstocks. But Honeycrisp pure tissues have higher potassium and phosphorus level, so leading to a higher, let's say this is flesh, higher potassium to calcium ratio. Here is this is Gala, represented by the black bar, and then the open bar or gray bar represents Honeycrisp. For Gala, there was no difference between rootstocks in the potassium to calcium ratio. But for Honeycrisp, B9 tends to have the lowest potassium to calcium ratio, and G11 and G41 were significantly higher. We also look at the magnesium to calcium ratio, similar trend. Also look at the potassium plus magnesium to calcium ratio, very similar trend. No difference between rootstocks for Gala, but there was a difference between B9 and G11 and G41 with B9. There's a difference between B9 and G11 and G41 in terms of the ratio, potassium plus magnesium to calcium. And then for phosphorus, for the flesh phosphorus to calcium ratio, similar trend as the other three. And we also look at the pure tissue. Again, for Gala, there's no difference, and the ratio is very low across here. But for Honeycrisp, first, much higher ratio, much higher ratios, including potassium to calcium, magnesium to calcium, potassium plus magnesium to calcium, and phosphorus to calcium. And between rootstocks, there were some differences here, but the difference is largely between B9 and G11. We look at the bitter pit incidence in 2016. There was a significant difference between B9 and G11 with G41 and M9 in the middle. And we look at the ratio of potassium plus magnesium plus phosphorus to calcium, and they correspond to each other fairly well. And we also look at the developmental changes of mineral nutrients throughout the fruit development, but only for trees on M9 rootstock. We look at the fruit development in 2016 because it was a very dry year for upstate New York. And overall fruit size is fairly small, but the Honeycrisp fruit was significantly bigger than Gala. However, in the first 4 weeks, there was no significant difference in terms of fruit size. We look at all the nutrients, and I just want to point out the difference between Honeycrisp and Gala in calcium. Honeycrisp consistently has only about 50% of the calcium compared with Gala. Even when there was no difference in fruit size early in the season. We repeated this in 2017, similar trend, but a little smaller difference here. But we also look at the pure tissue. Again, the pure phosphorus level, pure potassium level, no difference in magnesium. But both phosphorus and potassium are significantly higher. And with calcium level significantly lower in Gala. We look at the pure sap, showing the same trend. So quick summary, across rootstocks, Honeycrisp flesh and pure tissues have much higher ratios, nutrient ratios listed there, which is closely associated with a higher susceptibility to bitter pit. Rootstocks differ in their effects on bitter pit in Honeycrisp, which is associated with those nutrient ratios. B9 turns out to have the lowest bitter pit incidence. Honeycrisp fruit has lower calcium than Gala throughout fruit development, but the peel and peel sap tend to have higher potassium phosphorus throughout fruit development. At the very end, I want to thank these people and the funding agency for their support.
Thank you.
I did receive an email from Dario to say that he wasn't coming, so I assume nobody else is going to step in and present his presentation. Okay. So we can take some time for questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
Rob?
How did you take the peel? Where did the peel come from?
We just use a peeler. We take a peel longitudinally on opposite sides. So presumably that represents the whole fruit. Longitudinally on those wedges. And we pull peel tissues from 30 fruits. Yes, we purposely selected all those in the dwarf category. But to answer your question, I think vigor definitely plays a role in bitter pit incidence, because Dr. Rich Marini's data clearly showed that bitter pit incidence is negatively correlated with shoot length. I think the role of vigor, you can think of it this way. When you have a more vigorous tree, and generally speaking, more calcium ends up in the shoots and leaves, making less calcium available for fruit. However, in the case of Geneva G214, which is a more vigorous rootstock, so is G202. Both are more vigorous than G11, but they tend to have significantly lower bitter pit. So there isn't a vigor component, but the rootstock effect on bitter pit cannot be explained only by its effect on vigor. Comparable. A medium level. Yeah.
Just a second.
Okay.
Yeah. So, how was the soil nutritional status?
We also, these trees are on a grower farm, but this is a very good grower, very progressive grower. The trees were managed really well. And we took leaf samples from this, but I didn't show the data. All the trees are sort of more or less fall within the optimal range for nutrients. Yes, Peter.
I think with blossoming rot and tomato, there's a correlation between blossoming rot and calcium sequestration in the vacuole.
Yes.
And so, did you look at the cellular compartmentalization of calcium?
We have not, but that's something we're planning to do, because looking at cellular partition of calcium is not easy to do, as you know. And we are currently, Cornell Synchrotron is going through a major renovation, and we think once that's completed, we hope to be able to use X-ray fluorescence to look at cellular partitioning. But currently, I think for the work Dr. Beth Mitchum's lab did, they look at some of the genes or transporters for calcium to infer calcium partitioning. It's very difficult to look, you know, to image calcium, subcellular calcium distribution. Yes. They got some, but it's the same. Yeah. They're the same. Treated the same. So one row of Gala, one row of Honeycrisp. Yeah.
That was calcium chloride.
Calcium chloride. Yeah.
Any more questions? Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.